live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Welcome to this hump day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. On this February 2, 2018, it is the final day in the month of February. Can you believe that? This month just flew by. One of the shortest months, if not the shortest month of the calendar year. I'm not sure on that. I think it's the shortest month of the calendar year. So no surprise that February has flown by. It customarily does. And would you riddle me this? Here we are on February 2, 2018. And today will mark the official start of course, the postseason, at least for Big Ten teams. How crazy is that, right? Pretty crazy. So today you have a riveting slate of Big Ten hoops out at Madison Square Garden as Illinois and Iowa will get underway around 5 p.m. And then after that one, you've got a barn burner between Minnesota and Rutgers. Oh, that's going to be fun, right? Yeah, not so much. So I don't even know if you can officially say that today marks the start of the postseason for the Big Ten Conference, because those are not going to be good games. I won't be watching those games. I'll be following them, not watching them, though. So we'll talk about the start of the Big Ten tournament, though. We'll also have coverage from yesterday's first Michigan State football practice of the spring, the first of 15 practices that will take place throughout the spring session, culminating with, of course, the spring game. Mark D'Antonio talked with us media members and addressed some of the attrition on the team. He also talked about the investigation surrounding the program as it pertains to the ESPN report that alleges mishandling as it pertains to sexual assault allegations. The last time we heard Mark D'Antonio comment publicly on that story was the same day it was released prior to that night's Michigan State men's basketball game. And you guys remember as Coach D entered the press conference room very angry and basically putting his foot down and saying, look, I follow protocol. Come and get me. All right. He was in a much better mood during practice yesterday as he spoke to the media. So you get to hear what Coach D'Antonio had to say concerning his team and the investigation, and the ESPN report, and so on and so forth. So we'll talk about that. We also have a great guest for today's Current Sports. Now, we've had him on the show when it comes to pre-taped interviews. This will be the first time that Craig Fields, head coach of the Waverly boys basketball team, the first time that Craig will join us live here on the airwaves. And much thanks to Current Sports engineer Ian Hawley for setting this one up. Looking forward to chatting with Craig about getting win number 200 in his career and how he has been prepping his young men for a postseason run as districts for local high school boys basketball will begin next week. I'm also curious to get Craig's thoughts on Steve Fenimore stepping down as head coach of the East Lansing boys basketball team as well. I know Craig, of course, knows Steve Fenimore. They've been coaching against one another for a long time. And I'm curious just to get Craig's thoughts on that news and just what's it like trying to deal with parents in 2018 as a high school coach. Makes you want to pull your hair out sometimes, I'm sure. And I'm going to joke with Craig because, yeah, Craig is actually bald. So I feel you, Craig. That's probably dealing with all those parents over the years, right? On the back end of the show, we will talk the NFL considering finally changing the catch rule as the upper echelons of the National Football League are meeting out in Indianapolis, Indiana, for the NFL Combine. All of that and so much more. If you would like to be a part of our airwaves, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can also join us via social media at facebook.com/currentsports. Live stream is up and running there. You can comment below that vid, and I'll do my best to read your comments throughout these 60 minutes. And you can even tweet me. Tweet the show at WKAR_sports or tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. But you know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, and we start with Michigan State's football spring practice getting underway yesterday. The first of 15 spring workouts on Tuesday. It's the beginning for what the Spartans are hoping is a first step toward competing for a Big Ten championship after finishing the 2017 campaign with a 10-3 record, flipping the script, and a number 15 ranking by the Associated Press. Michigan State is looking to use that momentum to roll right into a possible successful season in 2018. Now, the Spartans capped the greatest single season turnaround in school history with a dominating 42-17 win over number 18 Washington State in the Holiday Bowl to record their sixth double-digit win season in the last 8 years. Now, on defense, the Spartans return 23 letter winners and 9 starters from a unit that finished ranked in the FBS top 10 in rushing defense and total defense. 5 of those 9 returning starters started in 13 games last season. The Spartans will welcome 10 starters back on offense, including senior running back LJ Scott and junior QB Brian Lewerke. There's a bit of turnover, though, that I'll get to in just a moment as we dive into the first spring practice for MSU football. But again, I'm sure you have this date already marked on your calendar. The Spartans will hold their annual green and white spring game on Saturday, April 7th at 5 p.m. inside of Spartan Stadium, of course. The 2018 Big Ten Men's Basketball Tournament tips off today from Madison Square Garden out in NYC. 13 games will be played over the next 5 days. The first of 2 games tonight features number 13 seed Illinois taking on number 12 Iowa. Tip time set for 5:30 p.m. The winner will play U of M, Michigan, tomorrow. The second contest tonight is between number 14 Rutgers and number 11 Minnesota, with the winner going on to face number 6 Indiana tomorrow as well. Number 1 seeded Michigan State's first game isn't until Friday at noon. Of course, they earned a double bye with the top seed. They'll face the winner of the number 9 Wisconsin versus number 8 Maryland game, and then we'll play on Thursday at noon. All right, the 2018 Big Ten Women's Basketball Tournament marks the 25th in conference history. The first tourney was held in 1982, actually in East Lansing, before the event resumed in 1995 and has been played annually ever since. Now, this marks the 21st time the Big Ten Women's Basketball Tournament will be played in Indianapolis, which will serve as the city's as the host city, I should say, for the event through 2022. Ohio State clinched its conference-leading 16th Big Ten title and second in as many seasons with a 13-3 record during conference play. The Buckeyes, who earned their first outright Big Ten title since the 09-10 season, will also be the number one seed for this week's Big Ten tournament. The second year in a row, OSU has received that designation. Now, Michigan State is the number 10 seed and will play its first game against number 7 Indiana on Thursday at 6:30 p.m. Michigan State is taking a lot of heats off the field, as many of you know these days. But on the field, nobody is doing it better when it comes to the basketball-football combination, according to Athlon Sports. Now, for the third straight year, Athlon lists MSU's Tom Izzo and Mark D'Antonio as the best coaching tandem for basketball and football for Power 5 conferences. Duke's Mike Krzyzewski, Coach K, and David Cutcliffe were the number 2 ranked tandem, followed by Alabama's Avery Johnson and Nick Saban. I always forget that Avery Johnson is over there coaching at Bama. Ohio State's Chris Holtmann and Urban Meyer, the number 4 tandem, while Michigan's John Beilein and Jim Harbaugh were ranked number 10. Faced with the possibility of losing their best pass rusher in free agency, the Detroit Lions yesterday used the franchise tag to keep Iggy Ziggy. That's right, Ziggy Ansah, off the open market. The Lions announced the move on the eve of this week's NFL Combine, where free agent negotiations tend to ramp up as all 32 teams and the agents for most players converge out in Indianapolis. Ansah will make about $17.5 million if he plays on the tag this fall, though the two sides have until July 16th to reach an agreement on a long-term contract. Now, the exact amount of the tag won't be determined until the NFL sets the salary cap for 2018 in the coming weeks. The cap is expected to be about $178 million. So, Ansah, coming off an inconsistent 12-sack season, would have been the top defensive end available had the Lions allowed him to reach free agency, and surely would have commanded a big money deal in free agency despite his recent injury problems. But I like this move because you tag Ansah. He's a player who's certainly a talent, but he's knocking on the door of 30 now, and you can't rely on him to stay healthy. So franchise tag him, and we'll see what he can do this upcoming year. All right, the Detroit Pistons will host the Milwaukee Bucks tonight at Little Caesars Arena. Detroit will try to break their 3-game losing streak, including a 123-94 loss to the Toronto Raptors on Monday. The Pistons are 28-32 on the season, 3.5 games behind the Miami Heat for the 8th and final playoff spot in the NBA's Eastern Conference. Pistons guard Reggie Jackson is making progress on his return to the court after suffering a severe ankle sprain, which has had him sidelined since late December. Now, Jackson traveled with the team on their 2-game road trip and took part in drills before Sunday's game in Charlotte, then worked out again before Monday's game in Toronto. So he's trying to work himself back in the fold. Head coach Stan Van Gundy says the goal is to get Jackson back to practice sometime next week, so he may be ready to return to the lineup during Detroit's 6-game Western swing. And that's going to be an ugly one if they continue to play the way they've been playing. That will begin March 13th in Utah. The Bucks, 6-4 in their last 10 games, having boasted the NBA's 4th best defense during that stretch and a top 10 net rating. Very impressive. One element to that success may be the recent addition of former Duke superstar Jabari Parker, who's been back for the Bucks' last 9 games, returning from his second ACL tear of his young career. Wings and Blues tonight. The St. Louis Blues downward spiral continued at Minnesota on Tuesday night. They dropped their 7th straight in an 8-3 drubbing against the Minnesota Wild. The losing streak is the worst for the team since a 0-5-2 run from December 26th of 09 to January 7th of 2010. The Blues will face a rested Winged Wheel squad, which hasn't played since beating the New York Rangers 3-2 on Sunday. Detroit comes in on a 2-game win streak. It will be the first game for the Wings since the club sent forward Thomas Tatar to Las Vegas for a trio of draft picks. And Pizza Hut will replace Papa John's as the official pizza of the NFL. The announcement comes a day after Papa John's said it would end its sponsorship of the league. Papa John's, which last fall blamed the NFL's response to player protests for slumping sales, will focus on its partnership with individual teams. The league's deal with Pizza Hut is for 4 years and is worth more than the Papa John's deal. That's what a source familiar with the agreement told actually CNN. Now, the agreement gives Pizza Hut, which is owned by Yum Brands, an array of exclusive marketing rights. And last but not least, the International Olympic Committee has lifted its suspension of Russia restoring the country to full member status after barring it from the 2018 Winter Games as part of its punishment for running a state-backed doping program that corrupted several global sporting events. Way to end it on a high note, right? That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Again, Facebook.com/currentsports. Tweet us at Al Martin, WKAR, or at WKAR underscore sports. Let's keep it pushing.
I'm not a fan of the NCAA. I love watching March Madness. I think that's incredible. I'm not a fan of how the kids don't benefit from none of this. So it's kind of a fine line because I actually got a couple boys that could be headed in that direction. So there's going to be some decisions that we as a family have to make. But I know as the NBA, we have to figure out a way that we can shore up our farm league. And if kids... feel like they don't want to be a part of that NCAA program thing, then we have something here for them to be able to jump back on and not have to worry about going overseas all the time, I guess. So we have to figure that out. But kids getting paid is not – that's not new. It's nothing new under the sun. We all – you guys seen Blue Chips? It's a real movie. It's a real movie. Seriously, it's a real movie. NCAA is correct. We know. I'm sorry. It's gonna make headlines, but it's correct.
LeBron James. He is a man who does not bite his tongue, and I love it. LeBron is one of those figures in sports that, when he talks, the world listens because he is one of the most popular athletes in the world, arguably the most popular athlete in the U.S. of A. And that was LeBron James actually commenting either before or after Cleveland Cavaliers practice. He was asked about, what's taking place right now when it comes to the federal investigation in the world of men's college basketball. And LeBron went on to say, hey, man, I'm a fan of March Madness. And how can you not be a fan of March Madness? It is the best sporting event on planet Earth. And this is a guy, as you guys know, I love the NBA. I love the NBA playoffs. I love the NBA finals. It's the best of the best going at it on the hardwood. You can't argue. You look at these last, 5 years. Man, the NBA playoffs have been on another level, and I love the rivalry between the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Golden State Warriors, but that does not compare to a one-game elimination of 60-plus teams come March. The emotion, a lot of these kids just playing out there because they love the game, the passion you see, the Cinderellas who go on these, unforeseen runs come March Madness, the storylines, there's nothing like it. March Madness is maybe the only thing that the NCAA gets right, right? So, we love March Madness, but just, you look at how things are run at the NCAA level. And I'm not even just talking about basketball here. The NCAA has a long way to go when it comes to progress. And not a fan of how they run, and this is something that we've been talking about dating, back to last week. Not a big fan of how they run things. when it comes to men's college hoops. You know, I think they should allow players to, you know, go from high school, and this is an NBA thing too. I mean, really, you know, to go from high school to the pros. So just not a big fan of it. And LeBron said, look, we need to look at, we being the NBA, we need to look at how we run our own farm system. And maybe that could be an alternate. Instead of having players who don't want to go to college and want to start making moolah right after high school, you know, maybe an option here in the NBA for them to do that instead of them having to go, or the majority of those individuals who want to do that, having to go from high school to some team overseas like the Ball Brothers, right? So I'm totally with LeBron on that. And yeah, I do think the NCAA is corrupt. I don't think that's any secret. And that is also something that we have been diving into and dissecting left and right, right? I mean, and you look at this investigation as it pertains to the world of men's college basketball, and you look at what's happening, with, you know, in light of the Yahoo Sports report in relation to Christian Dawkins, and his credibility is totally shot. I mean, and I've also thought about this when it comes to Christian Dawkins and that report that Yahoo published. I mean, you know, Christian Dawkins, there's a possibility that he could have been making up those figures. Who knows? You know, Christian Dawkins maybe could have been making up, you know, figures and jotting them down and just crying wolf for no reason. You know, I don't know. We have to really be patient with this and let the facts come out. But, you know, when you look at college basketball, it's no secret that there are slime ball agents out there who are just trying to get into, you know, the pockets of these talented young men who have a lot of potential if they happen to go to the NBA. There are a lot of agents that are just trying to capitalize on that. That is no secret. The system has to be changed, and I think these athletes need to be paid. But, you know, speaking of credibility, and, you know, Ian Hawley, current sports engineer, you know, Ian, you were the first one to actually, you know, put me on game to this, I guess you can say, blunder. Another blunder in reporting when it comes to ESPN. Because, you know, I looked at the Sean Miller story, and I said, okay, they got this dude, you know, talking about thousands of dollars on a wiretap. I mean, he's guilty here. You know, he steps down. He's no longer coaching the program. And then all of a sudden, I start to see these reports coming out, you know, and I'm reading on social media of all this stuff about the local reporters at Arizona actually saying, no, Sean Miller is not done as the head coach at Arizona. He could possibly be reinstated, because basically these reporters are saying ESPN jumped the gun. They reported this story without hearing what was on the wiretaps. And the local reporters are basically saying that there's nothing on the wiretaps that directly implicate Sean Miller as being found of being guilty of anything, really. I mean, there's no solid evidence in these wiretaps. Whereas ESPN framed it, it's like, okay, they got him red-handed talking about, you know, giving the big man at Arizona thousands of dollars, which is not the case. And now ESPN's credibility, I mean, a lot of folks out there on social media are hammering ESPN for not crossing its T's and dotting its I's. Sound familiar, Michigan State listeners? I just don't get it. I just don't get it, man. And we'll see what happens. I know that Sean has been meeting with administration. And, I mean, we're on the heels of postseason play now. But, you know, if ESPN gets this wrong, oh, my gosh, their credibility is going to take a huge hit. And I would love to see how the guys at ESPN, who are the face of college hoops, guys like Jay Billis, for instance. I mean, Jay Billis came out and just bashed Sean Miller in Arizona. Shocking stuff. What did you read? Because you shot me an article. It wasn't from, I forget what publication.
It was from Reddit. Yeah.
So, you know, take that with a grain of salt. I've read some stuff in Reddit where it's like, all right, hold on now. But there's some truth to it, because when I'm reading on social media and what I'm reading out there on the net is that ESPN may have gotten this reporting wrong.
So I read an article on Reddit, or an article, a guy's post on Reddit. And I sent it to you, and I said in the message, I was like, normally I don't give much journalistic credit to a Reddit post, but this guy made some good points. And basically his biggest point was the wiretaps were approved by for the FBI were approved in February of 2017. And DeAndre Ayton is the big man in question,
right,
at Arizona. So they said the wiretaps didn't even begin until June of 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And DeAndre Ayton was already committed to Arizona in 2016.
Right, so, he had signed his LOI, letter of intent, right?
So how do they have Sean Miller on a wiretap talking about DeAndre Ayton in 2016 if they don't even have wiretap recordings until 2017, you know?
Exactly.
Just a basic timeline thing that you think the worldwide leader in sports would pick up on. And we were having this conversation here yesterday, myself and a couple of the other production assistants. It's amazing that these guys who are professional reporters who have been doing this for however many years they've been in the industry can't do the basic things that they need to do that I do to get an A on my homework, you know? Like,
exactly, right? I mean,
if I did something like that for even a small story in one of my journalism classes, like the campaign finance story I'm working on right now, if I misrepresented someone in one of my articles, my teacher would fail me, you know? And normally people would get fired from ESPN. I mean, you've seen some layoffs, but nothing directly related to any of their mishaps. So it's amazing that they're continuing to make these mistakes, and amazing that there's been no changes made to their personnel after these mistakes have been made. I mean, I just don't see things getting better for ESPN if they're going to keep things the way they are, you know?
I don't get it either, my man. And yeah, these are basic journalism 101 principles, right? I mean, if you made the kind of mistakes that ESPN has made in your journalism class, I mean, you're failing that assignment and maybe at worst failing the class, right? Failing the entire course. So I don't get it. I'm a bit confused here. I don't know what to make of this whole Sean Miller story. I don't know what to make of even the – I must even go as far as to say this. I don't know what to make of the Yahoo Sports story because, again, you know, we're basing this off of how credible Christian Dawkins is. And let's be real here. The brother is not that credible. So, again, let's pump the brakes and let's wait for the facts to come out. All right. Before we hit this first break, I do want to play a bit of what Mark D'Antonio had to say. First practice, first spring practice for the Michigan State football team. It was a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day today. I mean, 60 degrees outside. I brought in my winter jacket, and part of that has to do with me being sick. I'm like cautious. I'm so cautious with Michigan right now. I'm like, nope, you're not duping me, Michigan, because I see on my radar, on my phone, that it's supposed to snow tomorrow. I kid you not, Mid-Michigan, it is going to snow tomorrow. It's going to be like a snow and rain mix tomorrow. So enjoy this 60-degree weather, because tomorrow is going to dupe you, all right? But anyway, it's a beautiful day, and it was a beautiful day yesterday for especially for some football, right? When is it not a beautiful day for football, right? But on the field, D'Antonio, he's got a lot of questions, even though there's a lot returning for this squad next season. 10-3 season, you win the Holiday Bowl, and actually, Coach D'Antonio only needs 10 more wins to surpass the great Duffy Doherty, school record of 109. Pretty impressive stuff. But yesterday, Coach D'Antonio, I just want to play these three bites real quick, Ian. I want to start with D'Antonio on the investigation, on confronting the issue of the ESPN report, which alleges that there was some possible mishandling of how the program and the school dealt with sexual assault allegations against the program. Here is what Coach D'Antonio had to say when asked about that topic.
You know, only that I want to commit to be a part of the solution. You know, I made my statement on how I feel about things, but, you know, hopefully we're healing as a community and healing as a university, and it's a step-by-step process. And, you know, a lot of times spring's the time for a new beginning. So, you know, I'll use that in that in this case as well. You know, it's an opportunity to grow and to get better at everything that we're doing and looking at. I think John Engler's done a great job thus far in terms of organizationally, in terms of, confronting the issue.
So again, Coach D'Antonio on confronting the issue. He wants to be a part of the solution. And I must say also, Coach D'Antonio was in a pretty good mood yesterday. I mean, he was in good spirits. The last time we saw him, he was a bit angry about the ESPN report. He disputed it and then stormed out the room. Yesterday, he was in great spirits. And look, he said, hey, I've talked to my players about it. And I'm constantly reiterating that we have to conduct ourselves a certain way. Okay, so here is the message that D'Antonio has to his players in the midst of this ongoing storm.
You know, be respectful of the process. Make sure that we respect women, obviously. Make sure that we have no incidents and that we have to be very careful everywhere we go and understand that this is a process. They know their expectations here. They know the guidelines and the rules, and we're going to follow those and stay within those.
How surprised were you with Mark Hollis' departure, knowing that all?
You know, I'm going to stay the course here with spring ball right now. You know, it's an emotional day for all of us.
And there are some coaching shifts and moves that have taken place within the program, including Don Treadwell, who served as Michigan State's offensive coordinator for four seasons, if you remember, from 2007 to 2010 under head coach Mark D'Antonio, and he has returned to the coaching staff. He will assist coaching defensive backs and special teams while also helping as an offensive consultant as well. Here is Coach D'Antonio on the addition of Don Treadwell, who returns to Michigan State.
You know what? We added a 10th coach, so Coach Treadwell comes back as a 10th coach. He's got, 4 years here, 3 years with me at Cincinnati. So he's very familiar with Michigan State. This is actually his third time on staff here. Came here in 1999 as well, or 2000. And then Paul Haynes, you know, has been here in the past. Proven coach with great experience, and they've also been head coaches, both Treadwell and Haynes, so they got a big picture view of things, and then Chuck Bulla played here. So I think what we've done is we've brought people back that's got a history of Michigan State, so at least their transition here, at least they know the fight song. That's what I can guarantee.
At least they know the fight song. I love that quote. There are a few absences, and one absence that really surprised me, I mean, this is a young man whose name will be etched in MSU lore from now until long before he's dead and gone. That being safety Jalen Watts Jackson, who scored the winning touchdown on that recovered fumble as time expired against Michigan at the Big House in 2015. He is not on the roster. However, and there are a few other names I'll bring up later on this hour, but Coach D'Antonio did stress that, hey, we had to put out a roster. There are some names that could be added to the mix, that could be taken from the mix. Who knows? That is an ever-flowing situation when it comes to the roster as spring practice begins. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will talk high school basketball. We will welcome to the show Craig Fields, head coach of the Lansing Waverly boys basketball team. That and so much more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Just wrapped up segment A discussing the NCAA men's college basketball investigation, the federal investigation centered on men's college basketball. Again, the Big Ten tournament gets underway in about, 4 hours from now out in NYC at Madison Square Garden. You got Illinois and Iowa tipping off around, 5 o'clock, 5:30-ish. And then after that, you can catch Minnesota and Rutgers. Ian, do you like the Big Ten tournament? Just real briefly here. Do you like the Big Ten tournament happening this week, a week before most of you know, the conferences will have their own conference tournaments. Because, you know, after this week, I mean, you still got more than a week off before, you know, March Madness officially begins. That's a long time off. I don't like it. I don't like the timing of it. I have no problem. I'm in the minority in saying this. I have no problem with it being in NYC. I mean, that's basketball's mecca, Madison Square Garden. It mixes things up a bit. I just have a problem that it comes a week prior to Selection Sunday. I'm not feeling that.
See, my thing, so I guess a few things. First of all, as far as the tournament being in New York is not the Midwest. The Big Ten has traditionally been Midwestern schools or in the Midwestern states.
So you like
the exceptions being Rutgers and Maryland, obviously, now.
Right, right. So
I would prefer Indianapolis or Chicago because it gives it more of that Big Ten feel. Secondly, as far as the timing of the tournament, I agree that it's terrible as far as just, I mean, the Big Ten season got cut a week short, so that cuts down on the time that fans would get to go see games. As well as for the players, I mean, you've got a whole week off now. You're not really used to that in the flow of a college basketball season. Mm-hmm. I know some people could make the argument that it would be kind of the same thing as a bowl game with football where you get a little time off to prepare, but in college basketball, I think that might hurt you more than it would help you. With football, you have a chance to rest and recuperate from the season. Whereas basketball, I mean, we're still in the middle of a season. It's not like Michigan State's got one final game left, you know, and they've got a week off. They got to play a whole tournament.
Yeah, you want to stay in that groove. I mean,
yeah.
It could be like 11, 12, 13 days before Michigan State gets back on the hardwood. Even longer if they don't go to the Big Ten championship game on Sunday. So, I don't know. I'm not digging it for timing purposes. So, but hey, I mean, heck, you got what the ACC is going to be in Brooklyn, and that makes absolutely no sense at all. So,
yeah, is the SEC going to be in New York too? I mean,
I'm not sure.
Is the Pac-12 flying in?
Like, who knows, man? there may the next conference tournament in the Big Ten may be in London. Who knows, man? It makes no sense to me. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. All right, let's get to our guest for today's current sports. In the midst of course, the Big Ten tournament taking place in March Madness. We are on the heels of March Madness. I can't forget about the Big Ten Women's Basketball Tournament taking place out in Indianapolis as well this week. But also, high school basketball ramps up, and this becomes a special time of the year for high school hoops because, again, postseason play has already begun for girls' high school hoops, and the boys will get underway with postseason action come next week. And one of the teams I'm really going to be looking forward to checking out is the Waverly Warriors boys basketball team, coached by Craig Fields, who has spent nearly three decades at Waverly High School as the head man in charge. He has been the head boys basketball coach for the Waverly Warriors for 14 years and actually notched career win number 200 last week. Craig Fields, welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. How you doing, my man?
Thank you. I'm doing well. Appreciate it.
Great to have you on, Craig. And I believe you guys picked up a win last night, I believe, at Kalamazoo Lloyd Norris. Is that correct?
Yes, it is, yep.
A 47-45 final in that game.
Yes, tight game, came down to the wire. We pulled it out at the end.
So with that win, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Craig, I mean, you guys have, what is it, a 10-9 record for the season?
Yeah, yep, 10-9 this year so far.
10-9, 6-4 in the CAAC red, and you all will finish up the season at East Lansing this Friday, correct?
Actually, tomorrow night. Yep.
I'm sorry, I forget it. It's Wednesday right now. Yeah, tomorrow. So that'd be Thursday.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
So for you, Craig, I want you to kind of comment. You know, with East Lansing coming up, I want you to comment and get your thoughts on first Steve Fenimore stepping down at East Lansing High School. I know you guys have been coaching against one another for a while. Steve is also one of my favorite coaches in this area. We've been talking about it all week because it came as really shocking news to a lot of us local media and to a lot of the local fans of boys high school hoops. He got into an argument with a parent last week after the win against Lansing Eastern. Got into it with Tom Hunt, the athletic director as well, was suspended and then decided to step down this week. I mean, how shocked are you when trying to put that news in perspective, Craig?
Very shocked. Like you said, Steve and I have coached against each other for several years now. We have a great relationship, good friendship. I respect him. He respects me. We have two good programs that battle each other. But it was very shocking, especially at this time of the year. You'd think he might finish and then something might happen. But I don't know the specifics, but mm-hmm. I wish him good luck and wish him well. And we'll be playing them tomorrow.
Definitely. And, of course, Kevin Mays, the freshman coach, has taken over the head coaching duties of the East Lansing varsity program. I mean, you talked about the relationship that you and Steve have. What is that relationship like, if you can elaborate more on it, Craig? And have you talked to Steve at all or reached out to him after hearing the news?
I have not. We it's more of a coaching relationship. Mm-hmm. It's not like we hang out on the weekends or anything, but I was planning to talk to him tomorrow night before all this more went down, but I'm sure I'm going to run into him shortly in the next month or so and figure out what was going on. But, yeah, I just wish him good luck. I don't know the specifics. I actually have no idea what happened, but
right.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's a tough situation, and, I've had numerous conversations with Steve about just the challenge of coaching in the 2018 world. There are a lot of parents out there who believe that they could be a head coach and believe that their son or daughter deserves to be the star or have more playing time. I mean, for you, Craig, just based on your experience, I mean, what is that challenge like trying to deal with parents today?
It's very challenging. As you just named a lot of things that we coaches think also is, it's just different atmosphere these days in this age group, and it's tough to, get on guys. They don't respond like they used to, it seems like, but you have to change, I guess, but we'll see how that goes.
What kind of modifications have you had to make when it comes to your own coaching style with today's young men?
I'm sort of a fiery coach, so I've had to tame that down a little bit. that I read an article not too long ago about coaching to your personality, and that's something I agree with, but it's a little more difficult these days to do that, I think.
Yeah, it certainly is. All right, Craig, this is your first time live here joining me on Current Sports, and I'm sure many of our listeners, they followed your career, and you've done one remarkable job as the head man in charge of the Lansing Waverly boys basketball team. But, what I like to do for our first-time guest here on the show is just kind of give some background, for you in your world of coaching. How did you get into coaching, Craig, and how did you end up becoming the man? Because I know you were working under Phil Odlum for a number of years, right?
Right, correct. Just career of playing. I went to Western Michigan University on a baseball scholarship. Ended up playing basketball also for a year there. That started me into coaching. I ended up actually coached a year of JV baseball and basketball at Kalamazoo Lloyd Norris, where I did my student teaching.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's who we played last night.
Right.
But then that got me, came back here. And when I got back to Lansing, the coaching job at Waverly Baseball was open, so I applied for that, ended up getting that job, and that's how I got hired into Waverly.
Wow.
Back in 1991.
Okay.
And then that next year, the JV basketball job opened, so I ended up getting that. So I was the varsity baseball and JV basketball coach for, I think, 7 or 8 years in the 90s.
Wow, how about that? And Craig, working under Phil, I mean, what did you learn from Phil?
Just communication, teamwork, defense, just, how to run a program. I was fortunate enough to, luck into getting a job under Phil and just going along and seeing how things work. And I pretty much agreed with a lot of things of how he ran things. So it all fell into place.
You've been the head man at Waverly now for 14 years. Craig, what has this journey been like, my man? And, you get win number 200 last week. Did it hit you in the moment, or has it not really hit you that you've been at Lansing this long? And to get win number 200. That's a lot of wins, Craig. That's pretty admirable.
Thank you. You know, looking back, at, you know, it is, but I also look at it, it's called longevity. You know, if you coach long enough, you're probably going to hit some milestones. But it'll be something I look at after I'm done.
Certainly. Again, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Craig Fields, head coach of the Waverly Boys basketball team. All right, Craig. Well, you know, as I mentioned as well, again, the postseason begins officially for boys high school hoops come next week. You have one more regular season game tomorrow, as you noted, against East Lansing. I mean, what kind of things are you looking at in the final regular season game that, you know, when you look at that game, you say, all right, this is what we need to tighten up on if we are going to make a deep run come districts. What kind of lens will you be looking at your team with tomorrow?
Well, it's the same kind here in the last few weeks, and we're trying to tighten things up like to be smooth and run efficiently, and so we're looking at those kinds of things. Tomorrow we might experiment with some few different things that we might want to run in the playoffs and things like that, but for the most part, we're working on what we need to do right now.
Can you give us a bit of a preview of your team, some key players, the identity of your squad, and so on?
Well, we're a defensive team. We sort of struggle perimeter shooting-wise, but we've been getting the job done, executing a little better in our offensive sets and things. But we have Kevin Ali. He's pretty much our leader. He's a 6'5", 6'6", center, senior. He's averaging, I think, 16 points a game and probably eight rebounds. We have a couple guards, Javon Anderson, Keyshawn Harris, who are pretty steady. Javon's a senior, Keyshawn's a junior. Then we have some role players that we need to step up a little bit. But we're just trying to tighten up our thing and see if we can get the job done for three games in a row next week and see how that goes.
Certainly. What did you like last night and what did you didn't like against Kalamazoo Lloyd Norix? A close win, 47-45 the final.
Yeah, well, we've been in a lot of close ones at the end, and this is one of the ones we finally end up winning. So I like that we stuck it out and kept competing there to the end and finally pulled one out. So now they have a taste of how that works at the end of the game. So that hopefully that's going to help us in the future.
All right, Craig, what's the key to winning around this time of the year? I know every – you know, I love asking that question to high school coaches because every coach has a different answer and has a different philosophy for trying to jumpstart, so to speak, their respective squad. But what is the key for the Waverly boys basketball team when it comes to success around this time of the year?
For us, it's going to be focus on getting the job done on doing your job, each individual guy doing their job, and be focused and consistent to be able to do it all game. We've had some good halves, some good three quarters of a game, but we haven't put really a whole game together, so that's what we got to do.
Okay, and what district will you guys be in? Is it Owosso?
No, the girls are at Owosso. We are at DeWitt.
At DeWitt. Okay, and those games will start on what day next week, Craig?
We play Monday the first game at 6 p.m. at DeWitt versus Owosso.
Okay. All right. Well, looking forward to following you guys throughout the district tournament. Good luck to you, Craig. Appreciate your time this afternoon.
Well, thank you very much, and thanks for having me.
Craig Fields, head coach of the Lansing Waverly boys basketball team. Let's hit our oh, do you have something, Ian? No, okay. It looked like Ian was talking on the mic, but no. He's like, no, I don't have anything. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show. We may have a few callers to get to. And also, I want to address the NFL considering a catch rule change. I think this is long overdue, and I think many of you would agree with me. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. A few comments to get to on our Facebook page, facebook.com/currentsports. Stephanie says, I am in agreement that players need and should be paid. Sliding pay scale by freshman, sophomore, junior, and senior. So depending on the class is how the pay should be divided up, I guess. Is Stephanie, that's what she's trying to say. Maybe seniors get paid more. I don't know. That's an interesting thought. I've never heard it put that way, to be honest with you. What do you think of that, Ian?
I don't know. It might incentivize people to stay longer if they can earn some kind of bonus the longer they stay. So maybe that would help the NCAA as a whole.
Interesting point. Interesting point. I dig that. I dig that. Also, Alex says MSU will struggle in the first half of their NCAA tournament game because of the week off. And I wouldn't be surprised. John Simon is also behind the glass, and I know John popped inside Studio West and wanted to talk some college hoops as well. And I want to get John's thoughts on MSU and just the overall Big Ten playing the Big Ten tournament a week prior to Selection Sunday. John is now live here in Studio West. John, first off, how you doing, my man? Happy hump day, right?
Very good. Very good hump day. It's a beautiful day out here in East Lansing, Michigan. Would typically not think that this is the weather for the end of February, but I'll take it.
Spring is in the air.
Spring is in the air, and spring break is right around the corner.
Are you doing anything for spring break?
I will be down in Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, you're so lucky. You know, my mom lives in the Fort Lauderdale area now, in the South Florida area now.
Oh, okay.
And she loves it. And she's from Trinidad and Tobago, so she moved down there. After living in Detroit for so many years, moved to Trinidad when she was like 19, but she moved down there to be closer to Trinidad. That's a quick flight from Florida to Trinidad. But anyway, enjoy Fort Lauderdale, man. That's going to be a fun time. But and also, Ian, are you doing anything for spring break? Are you leaving me for spring break?
Yes, sir. I'm sad to say I'll be gone for a week.
I forgot about that.
I'll be moving, or not moving. I'll be traveling to Alabama to see my old high school friends.
Not good stuff, man. I forgot. We got to talk about that. I have not even thought about that. Well, thank you for that, Jen. It's on my to-do list now to get a new engineer for next week.
We'll make some plans.
I know, right? But, John, just your thoughts on the Big Ten tournament being this week, Michigan State, you know, the implications it could have. I mean, you heard the comment I read from Alex. MSU will struggle in the first half of their NCAA tournament game because of the week off. And what do you just your thoughts on this tournament and Michigan State and the Big Ten, for that matter, having that much time off in between the big dance?
Well, I think for one thing that you have to think about is this could give the Big Ten a huge indication on whether this having this tournament at this time in the year is a good idea. Because as people figure, there's only going to be four or five teams from the Big Ten in the tournament this year. And if you see teams like Michigan State, Purdue, and Ohio State struggle in their first round game, that might, you know, the conference heads might think, all right, maybe these teams are struggling because we had our conference tournament a week earlier. Maybe they're rusty. Who knows? I'm not sure yet if it's a good idea. If it's not, maybe it'd be better if you play three, four straight games, then you get to rest for a week before going into the grueling month of March for this tournament. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think it remains to be seen. But overall, I have a good feeling about it. I think having it at MSG isn't a terrible idea as much as some people do. But I think it's just a wait and see sort of thing. I don't think we'll be able to really tell how this tournament affects the Big Ten teams going into March Madness, into the NCAAs, without actually seeing them do it this year first.
Right, definitely. And, you know, again, I don't like the timing as I noted in segment A, because that is just so much time off. I just like any team being in a groove. If any team is going to have success,
absolutely,
come March Madness, you got to be in a groove. And I just think having 11, 12, 13 days off, oh my! I mean, how do you stay in game mode if you're not playing a game during that time? That's a long, long time. But hey, who knows? I mean, Gonzaga last year, they had more than a week off. If you remember, their conference tournament was early last year, and what do? They go all the way to the national championship, right, and compete
right
there. So I mean, who knows? Riddle me that, right? I think it all depends at the end of the day who the head coach is and how is that coach mentally preparing his team for the fight come the big dance. So, and it's Tom Izzo. I mean, it's Tom Izzo, for goodness sake. I mean, what is the saying? January, February, what? Izzo, April, right? So we'll see what happens, but that's just my thoughts on it. And also, I know, John, that you wanted to also comment on the Louisville situation, right?
Oh, this has been a crazy, crazy week.
It has been crazy in the federal investigation centered on men's college basketball. But what do you make of this whole thing? I know you wanted to get something off
your chest. I was telling Ian earlier in studio, I was telling him how, not exciting, but how much this whole story just fascinates me. Mm-hmm. Just because... You know, and I talked about this last week, just everyone always made jokes about how payers are getting played, like, oh, Calipari's paying this guy or Krzyzewski's paying this guy to come to Duke. And it seemed like everyone always joked about how it happened. But really, there was a small bit in everyone involved in basketball that knew that this was going on. And Ian had the perfect line. He said this had to happen at some point. It had to come out for everyone to realize that this was actually happening. But I just find the whole thing fascinating. I mean, I had one person, a professor in the sports journalism school, say she thinks this is going to be the biggest sports scandal since the 1919 World Series. And Whoa. That changed the landscape of baseball forever. So who knows 100 years from now how people will look back at this and say, is this the scandal that changed college basketball forever?
Right.
So
right.
It's a whole crazy thing. I mean, who would have ever thought that the FBI was going to go in and, you know, somewhat start to take down the NCAA, or what could be the beginning of a takedown of the NCAA?
Definitely. And I think, you know, and again, I like the investigation because now it does. This will aid tremendously in cleaning up the sport, and it will open a conversation about these athletes possibly getting paid and getting some compensation for their talent, which I think needs to happen.
Absolutely.
But at the end of the day, it's exposing those who are dirty, and I love that. I love that. And again, there's still a lot more to come out. All we know right now is just this old Christian Dawkins and ASM story. There's a lot more that's going to come out in the coming weeks. So this is certainly just the tip of the iceberg. And now you have LeBron. You heard his comments at the beginning of the show. You know, the NBA needs to shore up its farm system and maybe give an alternative, I should say, for those coming out of high school who want to start playing the game professionally. So this is a conversation that's going to be ongoing for a long, long time. You better believe that. All right, John, thank you so much for your input. Ian Hawley, appreciate your work behind the glass.
Yes, sir.
Craig Fields, much love to him for coming on this Wednesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. We'll be back at it same time, same place. Until then, we're on a 23-hour break. I'm your host, Al Martin. Be easy, people.